Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, here kissing the earth of the mothership, KPFA, the Great Mother, within the Great Mother, within the Great Mother, because I have just returned from many forms, emissaries of the Great Mother, Laguna San Ignacio in Baja California, cavorting with the gray whales, who have much to pass on to us. Again, so much medicine and learning. So this is Whale Radio, and we may be joined by Rod Coronado at the half hour for Wolf Radio as well. I'll announce that. So it's the scouting report from the gray whales of Laguna San Ignacio. May the playful, loving, forgiving hearts, their hearts weigh 285 pounds, of the gray whales inform and guide our hearts and provide perspective, whereby the petty posturing of humans is revealed as ridiculous, coyote, and dissolved, ocean beings, into humility, when contrasted with the dedicated, with the magnificence of the beings all around us, who are the cooperators standing by. Truly, truly, Laguna San Ignacio is a remarkable place where the best of dedicated reverent humans has collaborated across species boundaries to reverence and protect life, which is the dedicated prototype for the modeled medicine for which we are all agents. May it be so. Whoa. So it is the vernal equinox. It is a powerful time. There will be gatherings tonight at Open Secret at 8:11 p.m. because that is the Moon-Saturn conjunction and 23 Scorpio, whose image is the Sermon on the Mount. We remember from Neil Douglas Klotz that the Aramaic translation of the Sermon on the Mount, what comes to us as blessed are the meek, is blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. We go, ah. Oh. So to learn from the whales, who are so forgiving, truly, and to take our strategy for being agents of dynamism in the world from them. So tonight, Thursday, March 20th at 8:11 p.m., I will be cahooting with whoever shows up at Open Secret. We say, as dominance goes down, taking so much life with it, it is time to align with the culture of collaborative reverent renaissance rising from the rubble, that our species may have manners, and a capacity to cahoot with creation. So our astro-mytho-political talk ritual aligning with nature's evolutionary indigenuity, also known as trickster intelligence. May we be aspiring and dedicated agents of the trickster redeemer quality of nature, found in whales and dolphins and ravens and crows and coyotes and wolves and seeds that sprout after cataclysm. It's the plucky part of all of us that loves against all odds. And opportunities abound. Creation is so generous for us all to become more intelligent. All of nature is awaiting our willingness to cahoot. So let's join. You know, I am just returned from the Whales of San Ignacio scouting report. So we go. So for the Open Secret event, you can call 415-457-4191, feeling encouraged to do so. I'll also be in Berkeley Saturday, March 22nd at 7:11 p.m. At the beautiful Sacred Stream, sacredstream.org, at 2149 Byron Street at Alston Way in Berkeley. So again, same deal, but to counseling, such a splendid time to counsel as we are doing now. So democratic animism now, democracy now, absolutely. So each moment awaits our dedication, we know that, and our willingness and our wonder to invite power into the world. These are incarnational mysteries. So my great hosts, shout out to Bill and Kathy Gallagher. And I told Bill this thought that people have, which is at the moment of the vernal equinox, which was this morning this morning at 9:57 a.m., that you can balance an egg just on its tip. And he was a scientific, appropriately skeptical person, and we took our eggs out, and no, they wouldn't stand. And then at the moment of the equinox, at 9:57 a.m., Bill Gallagher got his egg to stand and balance perfectly, poise. We go, oh, and as far as I know, it's still standing there. Go, fabulous. So it is a time of gathering poise. Can we humans, recognizing our own tiny, insignificance in the largeness of it all, gather inspiration and teaching and wisdom from an egg, from an egg, this balance point, equal night, equal day. We go, oh, so opening our hearts, you know, we have much to feast on, but we remember that the word respect means to look at twice, respect, or again and again, or with Aretha Franklin, respect. Yeah, look again and again and again until one finds respect in the other. So what is extraordinary, you know, we know that humans have celebrated this vernal equinox, a time to come into balance, for at least 25,000 years. And so we say, what is unique now? What is unique to us right now? And so we go, let us look at the beautiful astro-mythological poetic guiding language. And we go, oh, okay. So the sun enters Aries, woof. You know, it is called the incarnation of Mars, energy, fuel, the energy we symbolically run on as individuals, the energy literally that we run on as a culture. And it is also our relationship to Mars, our guiding wise instinct, our animal, our fauna kin, flora, fauna kin. Yes, the previous show, wonderful, wonderful. The first people are the plant people and then the animal people. And it turns out we all came from the ocean, and then some of us went back to the ocean. So again, Lauren Isley's The Immense Journey can guide us on that, going, everybody out of the ocean. And as Terence McKenna said long ago, you know, as life was poised on the edge like an equinox, emerging from the sea, going, feeling the weight of gravity, going, can we do it? And Terence said, life always responds, you betcha. There we go. So it is like that. Everything real, everything symbolic and metaphoric. And we go, okay. So life emerged from the sea, land, and then some went back to the sea. And you can see on the gray whales as they emerge in the miracle of only really in this bay. There's a few other bays in Baja where the gray whales approach with play and joy and wits and whatever to this place where humans had killed them and where they were known as the devilfish, because they would, in the whaling times, related to us by Charles Melville Scammon, who was a whaler, that he came to somewhat regret, well, actually quite regret, but his knowledge of the whales, and he said, so they were killed in this bay, and they were called devilfish because they were fierce. If you were going to attack their children or themselves, they would head to the boat and whack it, whack, with their giant, enormous tails. Of course, like you do. But now they come to the boats, and just a little bit of the history, again, over the last 2 weeks we've been regaling ourselves, reminding ourselves of this. But what happened was, you know, it was some years back in the late 70s that Pachico Mayoral, a local fisherman, was out in his little ponga, and a gray whale surfaced right beside him, and of course he was terrified. These were devilfish. All the writings came down that they would whack the boats and destroy them, but it came up with great kind of, hello, hello. So after being terrified, this is all kind of pertinent, he then realized it wanted to be greeted, and he touched it, and from then on, this remarkable thing that has astounded just actual humans and even scientific humans has taken place there, which is the whales. Some of them are go about their business and just don't want to be bothered, but some are friendly, actually seeking contact. And it is so amazing when the whales come to the boat, and of course we're all full of yearning, like, oh, come, get a splash. And they come, and then one really just starts babbling, like, oh, whales, may your arduous journey make a well for you, and please forgive us, give us energy for change as a species that we've been so anyway. It just happens, and hearts just open. We bandy about this language of heart opening. So much language gets sort of turned into a cliche, like, but truly, it is a heart expanding. And scientists who've gone to San Ignacio Bay say it's a miracle. It's as though the whales are forgiving us. Now, Pachico died last summer, and as his son Pancho says, you know, his spirit is out there in the bay with which he was so kin, this extraordinary bay, this extraordinary land, Baja, Mexico, where there are pictographs going back 7,500 years with pictures of, excuse me, whales. Yes, so the dust storm, I will relate, or gale about the dust storm in my throat, carrying dust particles from Baja here. But the pictographs from 7,500 years ago show humans, and we'll have to say, you know, sort of shaman figures going, with whales and dolphins. So there's a relationship that goes way back. And as a little sidebar, you know, Charles Melville Scammon was a whaler in 19th century who passed on and studied much of what we know about the bay and much of what we know about the gray whales, and then had a change of heart and began to respect, to look at again and again and again. The more we know, the more respect we have. Wherever there's a kerfuffle, look again, look again, look again, until you find kinship, you know, respect. And prejudging, prejudice, is to have an opinion before knowledge. So we want to, it's a great opportunity now to compost, you know, all prejudging and to replace it with respect. Look again, learn more. Learn more, create intimacy, reestablish collaboration and intimacy. There we go. So it was the Charles Melville Scammon reminded me of Bishop Landa, again, colonial bishop, imperial colonial nut guy, you know, who, you know, was in charge of burning much of the Mayan text, going, ah, heathen, heathen. And then he began to notice them and study them and go, whoa, respect. Respect. I have a change of heart. I have a change of mind. And then he began to protect it. You know, the man who wrote Amazing Grace, you know, a slaver who then respect, look again, soften emotional rigidity within your heart and then change things and then write Amazing Grace and go, oh, I've been a dingbat. The opportunity is available to all of us to go, oh, individually, collectively, as a species, we've been dingbats. And we are sorry, and we love reminding ourselves that we can redefine the word forgive as to mean to give energy for change. And then, truly, what could we not forgive in ourselves or in another if it means to give energy for change? Now, part of the dynamic of this vernal equinox, this powerful time, okay, the sun enters Aries, incarnation of Mars, kinship with animals and instinct, and to have our fuel be respectful. And so we say, well, where then is Mars? We go, ah, well, Mars is in Libra, Venus's sign, again, balance, balance in accord. It is retrograde. It appears to be moving backwards. Again, all traditional people would look at this as a kind of guiding, how do we align? What is the purpose of being human? Aha, what is the purpose of being human? Yes, that's right, the sounding of Sherwood Forest. What is the purpose of being human, we might wonder. Over and over again, it is good to do that. And we go, well, maybe several things. That one of the assignments of being human is to discern the pattern of evolutionary intelligence, the liveliest possibility of reciprocal blessing available at any moment, to discern that and then dedicate and offer ourselves to that. You know, that is why we gather on radio. That is why we gather. That is in our hearts. That is why we gather the counsel of each one of us independently and then together even more potently going, ha. Huh. And it may also be, maybe, that one of the qualities of what is it, you know, what is it unique to our human species aside from our rudeness and our manners and our transgression and our devastation and lack of respect for the families and kins of others? We'll come back to that. It might be that humans have the capacity to borrow qualities of intelligence from the plants and the animals around us to become more hybridized than what we are. It's why so many of the cave paintings going back 7,500 years, 25,000 years, depict human, part animal. Remember that the original depiction of the wrathful Dakinis, you know, was part woman, part animal, or part coyote, part woman, part wolf, part woman, part whale, part woman. You know, we are nothing without the animal allies. And it is so quirky to be in the vastness of whale realm every day, 4 days, going out twice a day, no Wi-Fi, no computer, no phone, no nothing, into the real news. and then holding this treasured thing to come back to spread to everyone's heart, but not being distracted by the hubbub of human kind of Indian, Indian. We go, no, there's a bigger message. If the whales can forgive us for murdering their kin, surely we can learn forgiveness as the strategic path we're by to unfurl and unfold. So Mars in Libra, again, we say some things are always true, but there are times when they are truer. So one traditional saying about Mars retrograde, appearing to go backwards from the Earth's perspective, is that the aggressor always loses. We go, that might be always true, but it's especially true now. I like it. Mars in Libra, again, very Aikido. Again, the opening of heart. So, you know, there was an extraordinary event while we were there, our stalwart team, and overlapping with Michael Stocker's team. We were there for 4 days, which is very, very long. And I mean, not long enough. I did weep to leave the whales, like, oh, whew. But at the exact full moon, it was extraordinary, at 10:08 a.m., on Sunday, lots of wildness around this weekend. Wildness, and how do we want to align with that? But at 10:08 a.m. West Coast time and Baja Mexico time as well, there was an extraordinary thing. We were out in the boats, and our wonderful guy Danielle said, "Up, we got to go in. There's a rule that if the wind is over 22 knots, you got to go back in." And we go back in, and right at the full moon, this amazing storm hit, this amazing sandstorm, like a hubbub, like something you read about in Saudi Arabia, and all the locals said they'd never seen anything like it. And again, it was the Goldilocks storm. It was just enough to realize our own tiny humanness, and not so much that anybody got hurt or killed, but it was like, wow, you could not see your hand storm. Fortunately, I had my Syrian Bedouin head wrap on, just in general, and it was like perfect walking through this incredible storm. And then there was a feeling afterwards as though all puny, pathetic thoughts had been swept away. And I was thinking of the whales, and many of us have seen the movie Blackfish. It's playing over and over again on CNN. It's an extraordinary, terribly sad, important film, I think, for all humans, really, to see, to understand what are we doing to our kin. Once again, will we find the thing that heals us before we kill it or provoke it into killing us? And one of the most profound moments in that film, where we're, again, humans and Sea World are, you know, capturing orcas. Orcas and whales, they know from wheeling whale brain into MRI, humans, but they know that the cetaceans have a part of the brain in the front that we do not have, that is about family and kinship. And this is so strong in them. And one of the most disturbing parts of that film and reality is where, with mother and child calf orcas, they stay together forever, for as long as they can stay together. And in SeaWorld, they sell the baby, the child, and take it away. They load it up into this hammock, and they put it in the truck, and they drive it to an airplane. And the mother whale releases some echolocation sound that the humans had not heard before, some far distancing, like, hello, where are you? And so in the dust storm and cavorting with the gray whales, I was like, who could have murdered their heart so much that they would do such a vile thing? And I could feel punitive retribution rising up in my heart. And I go, no, but what would the whales do? What if we find and replace, again, this oceanic compassion to which we really want to invite? What if we, about all humans behaving badly, if we were calm enough, poised as an egg on the equinox, to go, oh my goodness, what has happened to you that your heart has been murdered and your sense of kinship has been numbed? Let us send you to a place of healing. What if our entire culture were to find and replace retribution and reaction and punishment with the impulse to heal the heart, because that's what the whales, the gray whales of San Ignacio Bay, have done. They would protect and devilfish and destroy in the moment, but then they sent their emissary, again, this emissary, we don't know, there's much mystery to the gray whales. We know that they calve in this friendly realm with Pancho Mayoral, the son of Pachico, who was there, part of our team. I said, well, what is of reciprocal benefit? I mean, we know this is vitalizing the economy for the local fishermen. That's really good. What do you think is the benefit to the whales of our engagement? And we go, it's a big, important question, but they seem to love it. You know, and they seem to want to, and they're to establish playful community. They come right over. Part of what is so delightful is the playing, you know, in which you're yearning for the whales to come, and then you go, oh, here comes a mother and her calf. They're coming right towards our little panga. There's not a moment of fear. Not a moment of fear. It's like, oh, and they go under the boat with their great, magnificent tails that used to destroy boats, just graceful. And sometimes the little one will even lift up our little panga, you know, just a little bit, and just witty, zero fear, like, oh, and they'll go, oh, come up, and you lean over, and they want to be touched, you know, just put your hands reverently on them, and they go, ooh, and then they blow you, you know, they blow out of their blowholes, and you go, baptism, da, and then they go down, and then they come up again, going, hello, and then they come down on the other side of the boat, hello, and then they come up, yeah, just, it is clearly play. And Pancho said, well, you know, this is one of the only places in their life journey where there is no dangerous predator, where they have the freedom to have friendly engagement. We go, oh, what a precious place. These places are so important. And it was the saving of this place, you know, there's a wonderful book by Stephen Swartz, who will be, may it be so, guest on this radio show, Lagoon Time. And he mentions, you know, what we all know, which is there was a terrible moment when Mitsubishi was going to build a salt plant and destroy this one safe haven in the world for the mothers and babies. And so many international environmentalists and poets came together to work on this. Again, the best of dedicated humans. With the whales, you know, as I've said, you know, well, over and over again, but let me say it again. As Pancho told me 4 years ago when we first met, he said the whales knew what they had to do. The president of Mexico had approved this terrible plan, but was invited by the fishermen to go out with his wife and his child out into the lagoon. And the whales knew what they had to do. He said they were so charming. They were so beguiling. And the president's wife and child were just weeping, as you do, just weeping with the joy and delight of these large, incredibly playful, mysterious creatures. And the president of Mexico's heart was softened, and he canceled the plan. So it's that combination. This is the thing we really want to honor. It was the combination of the best of dedicated, hardworking environmentalists, many of whom were poets. Again, you know, poetry, art, kinship, wedded to science like it always has been, you know, until medium recently, with the whales themselves. And this is, again, what we want to honor. You know, again, we say to form an alliance with the wolves. We may be having Rod Coronado. I will announce his events that are also tonight and Saturday, speaking on behalf of the wolves. You know, become more like a wolf, to form an alliance with wolves to protect them and us, become more like whale. Whatever it is we love, become more, be willing to shapeshift and become more like it. We remember that all mythic figures are metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. I think it's a good model to work with. So when I mentioned the wrathful Dakinis, part woman, part animal, you know, they are, They were inhaled by organized religion, Tibetan Buddhism, and made ornamental and pretty, kind of stripped of some of their kind of but they weren't pretty. They were beautiful. Beauty is powerful. It is not a weak thing. It is a powerful thing. And they represent all that metabolizes poison in nature. So the mycelia, the mushrooms, and all of that, they take the poison of anger and cook it into the tonic of wrath, fierce protection of all life, especially the mother-child bond, like, oh, the mothers and children, oh. They take the poison of seduction, look at me, I'm dancing ecstatically, and cook it into the tonic of magnetism, bring everything alive. So we honor those qualities. We go, oh. So Mars in Libra again guides us. Mars is going to be spending a very long time in Libra, metaphorically that would say, you know, because we humans need to learn, and all of creation, you know, again about collaboration and manners, how to have a positive, dedicated fervor to protecting as much life as possible, and moving to the center of everything, the most essential conversation of which everything else is a distraction. How do we humans heal our relationship to the rest of our relations on this planet? There is nothing more important, because all crime and kerfuffle, petty and large, come from that imbalance. This time of bringing things into balance, may it be so. You know, a journey, while we're gathering poise, balance, kind of even now, inhaling and exhaling kerfuffle, and some things we know, but let us repeat them because it's more powerful now. If we love democracy and equality, then to react to anything is not free, but is to carry around a portable prison for oneself and for others. To cultivate an ever larger repertoire of responses is to ally ourselves with nature's evolutionary ingenuity, and to become an agent of liberation and democracy for oneself and others in the world, and to align with the whole larger creation that is awaiting our willingness and our dedicated wonder, you know, to be agents of what we love. Mars in Libra reminds us, and it says, whatever we love is willing to love us and to form a dynamic relationship at this time of dire beauty. So again, to feel in each one, you know, we are all invited always to think of our lives like a spiritual detective novel in which everything is a pertinent clue, every affinity, everything to which we are drawn, whether it's a culture, an animal, a plant. Again, whatever we love not only loves us, Kierkegaard says, presume love in the other. Respect, look again until you find that. You know, so it's, again, to form an alliance. But not only that, and this is why I feel so ardently about all of us who journeyed to the whales, whenever we have a significant encounter, you know, we are entrusted with work. Travel comes from the word, French word travail, which means work. We have work to file scouting reports and to be an agent for what we love, to expand the sense of kinship out into the world. So, again, to tell the story of the gray whales or the wolves or the whatever it is going, what would they say to us? Us teeny humans, may we have a sense of our own smallness, like humans in a Chinese landscape painting, big nature, big sandstorm, big whales, big ocean, and then teeny, teeny little humans in a teeny little panga boat, or way down in the valley with a tiny little wheelbarrow, to restore some sense of wonder and to not be distracted by what passes for, oh, it was really good to be out of Wi-Fi, to be out of phone, to be out of Facebook, to be out of that, to put it in its perspective and to go, this immediacy, this beauty of the world, this is the news. This is what we are called upon to remember. When a planet retrogrades, it is going on a vision quest to remember. This Mars in Libra at this moment of vernal equinox, beginning the strategy of this season, is very specifically for all of us to remember kinship, remember dynamic relationship, you know, and remember respect for everything. You know, again, Michael Gruber, love the quote, you know, to love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before. And that's what the gray whales of San Ignacio Lagoon, again, disharmony. Humans for centuries, you know, killing babies, killing mothers while giving birth, just us humans, God, you know, and then restoring dynamic, collaborative, forgiving us, inviting us. And as strategy, remember, the whales did not come up to the president of Mexico and go, you runny dog lackey of imperialist colonialism, you bad person. They go, no, 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 we're going to open your heart until you weep with kinship and remorse and enter once again into the infinite game of keeping everything in play. This is Caroline Casey. This is the Visionary Activist Show, and we're going to take a very short break, and we'll be back in moments.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry. Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Telegraph my indigo skyship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, here kissing the earth of the mothership KPFA, dedicated to Pacifica, again, the goddess of peace and correct relations and respect for all beings and creatures. We may or may not be joined by Rod Coronado. But synchronously, he is also driving into town tonight to give events at the same time that I am. Both are equally wonderful. I want to encourage people to, wherever you are, just have a dedicated heart. So Rod speaks on and for wolves. He is a dedication to animals and the earth. He will be present at two events, March 20th and 21st. The doors open at 6:30. The presentations begin at 7. So tonight in Oakland, Thursday, March 20th at Quilombo, formerly the Holdout, 2313 San Pablo Avenue, where West Grand and 23rd Street cross San Pablo. And in San Francisco, Friday, March 21st at the Eric Cazeta Center, 518 Valencia. So it says Rod Coronado is a longtime Native American Pascayaki activist affiliated with the animals rights movements. Yes, Earth First and Forest Campaign in Northern California, whom the government has gone to length to imprison and silence, ineffectively, yes. But he will not be silenced, no, nor any of us who are agents of animals. He's on a speaking tour, his first in years, advocating for the wolves and against recreational trapping and hunting, responsible for upsetting the ecological balance of the wild. So, you know, as those who've been, you know, hanging with me for a while know, I have a special affinity, love of wolves. You know, had the great honor of living with Captain Moondog Wolfie, a part wolf from whom I learned much. And we remember, again, the wolf medicine of leadership. And what does it mean that humans are relentlessly killing, you know, these beings who care so much about family, whether it's the orcas or the gray whales or the wolves, you know, and whatever we kill is going to end up in our bedroom and in our community lives. If we destroy the community life of others, that it comes from the destruction of our own community life, but it will increase that as well. So we just put on our altar of dedicated mystery. Aha, I will bring Rod in and seconds, because we put what we've been working with for years, that the wolf model of leadership, wolves do not operate on dominance, they operate on charisma, according to one story. And in wolf culture, charisma means who initiates play best. Not just play, let's go hunting, but the wolf leader is the leader who engages the playful ingenuity of the pack, and what a good leadership model that is. There you are, Rod, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much, Caroline. Thank you for having me.
That's great. So I know you're on the road. You're driving from Portland to here. You've got your presentation tonight. But I was delighted at the overlap. We've been honoring whales, whale medicine. May we become more like them. What would you like to guide us to know about wolves and how we can better protect these allies?
Well, first of all, you know, there's nothing coincidental about, you know, the segue and all that. It's just great to be here. to be talking about this issue. And I think that it's serendipitous, too, because, you know, as we were driving in, I woke up this morning and on our way out from the Little Applegate River Valley where we stayed, we got a newspaper, and on the front page there was a story about OR7, the wolf that has recently been seen in California, the first wolf to be sighted here in over 50 years. I believe it's closer to 80 years. And they were talking about the educational efforts that they're going to be doing following the path of the wolf as he traveled through eastern Oregon and across to California. And that's essentially, you know, what we're doing is that, unfortunately, there's a rollback. You know, there's a rollback to the war of wolves, on wolves that's happening on the federal and state level now. And it's tragic and it's sad. But, you know, we have to meet it with a response to fight it the way that, you know, people in the movement did 40 years ago. But at the same time, while maintaining that, you know, it's not just the wolf we're fighting for, but the level of consciousness that the public largely has towards wolves and whales and other animals, and how that attitude hasn't yet been reflected necessarily in government agencies, especially those that govern wildlife. And so that's what we're on the road doing, and what we're asking your listeners, as well as everybody who's concerned about whales and wolves, to help us out and going back to work to protect endangered species.
That's perfect, because, you know, part in the mythopoetic language of, you know, sky, earth, you know, Neptune represents dreams, vision, the understanding we're all in this dream together, and it represents the, at first, invisible cultural shift that precedes molecular change. And right now, you know, it's really inviting everyone's deepest, most exiled, you know, sense of kinship and compassion and, you know, come on out, the deepest part of you is about to be welcome.
Yes. And we're helping to make that happen. You know, there is that peaking happening, and I think all of us are searching for it because we all know it exists. We know it's in us. We feel it in different ways when we hear stories, when we hear, you know, about creatures like the wolf coming back. And it is about more than biology. You know, it is very much about us as well, and about our relationship to the universe and to all the energy of life. And that's what we see this being, is that it's not just about protecting the wolf. It's about reinviting a reconnection with the natural world. And I'm excited about that.
Yes, and maybe you can also, you know, help me with this too, which is, you know, I so love wolves. Our great ally David Grimes, who's in Washington now, because we are coming up on the anniversary of the Exxon Valdez spill, from which there are still criminal horrific repercussions. But once, when he was out in Alaska with a friend, you know, way out on the Copper River, and they were playing their guitars, an entire pack of wolves came to join them for breakfast, and they joined in jamming. And he said even the little wolf was like, and they jammed with guitar and wolf howl for like 20 minutes, and then the wolves all looked at the wolf pack leader and they all said, you know, thanks, and trotted off. And we go, oh yes, you know, the artful capacity as mm-hmm. you know, to cahoot. So what does it mean to you? I mean, and well, here's what I want your help. You know,
just to comment on that is, like, you know, that too, it's easy to see why so many indigenous cultures in throughout history have had a special relationship with wolves, because that relationship still exists, you know, and you're just talking about it with your friend, and I've heard some more stories from other people since we've been on the road talking about wolves, and it's yeah, it's a connection that's possible and that satisfies that yearning. But I'm sorry, Caroline, I interrupted you getting to ask something else too.
No, it's all a great cavort. Yes, but I think approaching with respect changes the whole dynamic. But where I want to compost my own is, you know, the aerial hunting of wolves, the ranchers who shoot wolves and go, well, there's plenty of wolves. I have a hot reaction going, there's plenty of humans too. You know, I want to be more wolfy. I want to enlarge a response that opens hearts rather than just retaliates, you know. But how do you maintain your deep heartfulness in a non-retaliatory manner to be influential?
Well, I tried in my earlier years to operate out of a more reactionary place and just trying to stop, you know, what I thought was wrong in the world, and not really working to changing the attitudes that were behind those actions. And And, you know, that's the long, hard work that needs to be done, and it's easy to be dissuaded from it when you see this ugly face and things like the aerial killing of 23 wolves in Idaho as it happened last month. You know, it's easy to be outraged and want to, like, take action against that helicopter, and that's a natural reaction, but to change that, it's going to take more, And I was young at one time, and I had the right to be a little bit looking for tactics that are really going to produce long-term results. And you know, there's good things that we've done to protect predators in my past, you know, with other organizations. But now we're on the cusp of losing a huge victory, and I think that it's not just an environmental victory, but it's also a consciousness victory, you know, seeing animals. You know, the most persecuted animal in this country is probably the wolf, and to return to that way of seeing it and relating to it, I think is a blowback to a lower level of consciousness. And I think that the way that I handle it is by I stay connected. I want to be connected to those wolves. I don't want to just be fighting against wolf hunts. I want to go out there and hike in the areas and hear them howl like your friend and just have an excuse to be out there and hear stories related to their significance to Native peoples and to other peoples in history and explore, you know, that wild connection that we're really fortunate in this country to still have. You know, we're not in a condition that a lot of European countries are in where we've lost, you know, all the essential links of our ecosystems. You know, we still do have large predators here. So that's something that for me is, there's a lot of hope found in that. Maybe not in what humans are doing, but more so with nature and that spirit that refuses to be destroyed, you know, that keeps on wanting to come back and still waiting for us to live in harmony with it. It's just, that's
and there's a lot of competition for most persecuted, but I want to bring in the coyote allies.
Yeah.
Because I live with a half coyote, again, ambassador from Between Worlds being, and so I learn a lot from her and then wanting to know more and more. But again, the medicine, coyotes will watch trappers laying a trap, and then they've learned how to follow along stealthily, and they set the trap with a stick, and then they pee all over it. I go, yes, like that. You know, follow, observe, spring the trap, pee all over it just to show your attitude, you know, and again, you know, so many qualities like that. I just for the fun of it, I wanted to bring in, you know, ancestor Philip K. Dick about our own befoiblements and how they can be useful. He says, my incompetence had called these invisible friends forth. Had I been more gifted, I would not know of them. It was in my mind a good trade. Because of my limitations, an entire new universe had revealed itself to me, a benign and living hyper-environment endowed with absolute wisdom. Wow, I said, you can't beat that. He called it vast. Active living intelligence system, and maybe it's your kinship with the wolves going, there's a larger thing that we're a part of, that we just want to relax our human modern whatever it is and
infection.
What did you call it?
Infection.
Yeah, well, yes, whatever.
The human condition is an infection.
It's a colonialism. It's a snookering. It's a snookering of people to deprive them of the animal allies they need so that they will be obedient to tyranny and lose kinship. So that's why, yeah, so... Here's something I want to toss to you, too, because with Pancho Mayoral, I'm going to have him when he gets back to a landline someday from Mexico in April. But our first conversation, this journey, began with, you know, there's modern improvements leading to the lagoon. We go, these are transitionally dodgy times. And he said, yeah, one of his friends says, bad roads, good people. Good roads, bad people. And we go, there is that. About how do we put in place, you know, boundaries of respect before we grant easy access to any place, right? I mean, what do you think about bad roads, good people, good roads, bad people, just as a departure point?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm following you in the correct line, but I definitely think that having boundaries of respect is essential, and it exists between people, and I think it exists between nature as well. And it's a relationship, like you were saying, you know, it's just the nuclear family didn't only, that model didn't just isolate us from our human relations with other people. It also isolated us from, you know, stronger relations with our animal relations as well. And so I think in that way, you know, finding those roads back where there's reciprocity and respect also, you know, that comes when you're part of a, you know, harmonious, you know, system as opposed to being apart from it. I don't know. That's kind of what I think of.
Right, right. Well, it's, yes, how to be a part of something rather than apart. Right, and culture of reciprocal blessing, which animals really, you know, again, the whales, the wolves, the coyotes that I've also met in the wild going, hello, you know, may it go well for your people, you know, and for your, yeah, culture of reciprocal blessing. So if visioning the desirable future brings us into collaborative intimacy with it, what is a vision that you would want us to animate about our relationship to wolves and everything else?
I think just to be reinvested, you know, to say that, you know, at this time when people are returning to a darker way of seeing such creatures that we, you know, we proudly stand up, and that means going to a public meetings, you know, where wildlife policies are being determined, and we go there and we bravely speak with our hearts about the connection that you and I are talking about, Caroline, and we're not, you know, embarrassed about it or ashamed or, you know, difficult expressing ourselves in that way. And I think that that's where those actions are radical, is because those perspectives don't change unless we change them and we present them in the way that we'd like them to change. And I think that just speaking for the wild that way, that's where I feel like a lot of what's going on now with the wolf issue is kind of like a return to that desire for more biocentric, you know, harmony, and, you know, in spite of everything that we're finding out about the significance and importance, or because of it, I should say, of predators and other animals. It's just, you know, we have an opportunity to strengthen our relationship with other animal nations right now, or we can continue to weaken it as our predecessors have done. And so that's what I'm asking people to do, whether that's through a greater spiritual connection with nature, but hopefully also with one that's politicized and getting people out, writing comment letters about the wolf management plan that the California Wildlife Department is formulating right now. Having a voice in that is really integral and important, and just going to those meetings and making sure that we are in a position to welcome back the wolf, not scare it away when it returns to California.
Right. And then it is, again, rather than retaliate against dingbat humans, it's like allies also of this show, Sally Cox, who works to save the bonobos in the Congo. And she said she realized that to save the bonobos, she had to save the humans, so they would stop killing the bonobos. So they reinstated, you know, ferries to bring produce to market, and they gave everybody bicycles, and they started a university with free scholarships of environmental stewardship. And once the people there stopped killing the bonobos, they remembered the sacred songs of kinship. They were too ashamed to remember them. But once they didn't have to kill anymore, the songs, the ancient songs came back to inform them, and their culture began to heal.
That's stuff that I would love to talk to you about for hours around a campfire sometime. But I have to get back on the road to make it to the East Bay right now, Caroline. I'm going to have to say goodbye to you and your listeners. But I'd love to continue this conversation sometime, and I hope to do so with some people tonight who come to my lecture, or tomorrow in San Francisco as well.
That's great. I will announce again where you're going to be. That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Carolyn. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, a pleasure. So that is our ally, you know, Rod Coronado. He will be presenting tonight. Yes, somewhere I have it here. I will post it on website. It will surface before the end of the show. But yes, no, wolves, again, all of our kin is really our dynamic to be agents of this. Again, whatever we love, may we tell its story. May we be humbly open to being informed on scientific, poetic levels. And I love that so many people, you know, hearing of my scouting, my journeying with great stalwart companions to Baja, you know, sent me Mary Oliver's poem, which is very moving, on humpbacks. She says, "There is all around us this country of original fire. You know what I mean. The sky, after all, stops at nothing, so something has to be holding our bodies in its rich and timeless stables, or else we would fly away, off Stellwagen, off the Cape, The humpbacks rise, carrying their tonnage of barnacles and joy. They leap through the water. They nuzzle back under it like children at play. They sing, too, and not for any reason you can't imagine. Three of them rise to the surface near the bow of the boat, then dive deeply, their huge scarred flukes tipped to the air. We wait, not knowing just where it will happen. Suddenly, they smash through the surface. Someone begins shouting for joy. Ah, you do. And you realize it is yourself as they surge upward, and you see for the first time how huge they are as they breach and dive and breach again through the shining blue flowers of the split water. And you see them for some unbelievable part of a moment against the sky. Ha! Like nothing you've ever imagined. Like the myth of the fifth morning galloping out of darkness, pouring heavenward, spinning. And then they crash back under those black silks, and we all fall back together into that wet fire. You know what I mean. I know a captain who has seen them playing with seaweed, swimming through the green islands, tossing the slippery branches into the air. I know a whale that will come to the boat whenever she can and nudge it gently along the bow with her long flipper. I know several lives worth living. Listen, whatever it is you try to do with your life, nothing will ever dazzle you. composing myself. Nothing will ever dazzle you, like the dreams of your body, its spirit longing to fly while the deadweight bones toss their dark mane and hurry back into the fields of glittering fire, where everything, even the great whale, throbs with song. Ah, thank you, Mary Oliver. That's really good. I will be reading that again because it deserves to be read again tonight at Open Secret at 8:11 p.m. It's a really great time. Get there at 8 so we can really start at 8:11 because there are things more powerful than us humans that want us to gather and to dedicate. That will be at Open Secret Bookstore at 8 p.m., starting at 8:11 p.m., but be there at 8 in San Rafael, California. You can call 415-457-4191 for reservations. And then blessed great ally Jody Celine is, we are Fly By Night Productions, just slowly gliding into place, self-assembling Saturday, March 22nd at 7:11 p.m., because that's a really cool time, too, in Berkeley at Sacred Stream, beautiful venue, sacredstream.org. 2149 Byron Street at Alston Way. And that will be, again, our council, our vernal equinox gather strategy council, where so much is woofing to us, so much is eager for us to be its agent and to collaborate. Cooperators are standing by and realizing, like, thank goodness it is not just us humans. It's, as Philip Dick said, Valis, vast, active, living, intelligent system. And that's, I think, why people weep when they have these powerful encounters, the powerful whales who could destroy us but who are forgiving us and our history of being just so cruel, and going, here, open your heart. So open your heart as well as God. And that becomes our strategy. Again, really to be agents of peace rather than retaliatory, vindictive, reactive, serving colonialism, no matter what label we stick on our progressive ass. Again, is our manner of relating respectful, serves democracy and freedom and peace, or is it impositional, serves colonialism and empire? And let's just take this into our hearts so that we all have our own tyrannometer whereby to modulate ourselves. Let us all be self-mahooting. Remember, Mahoot is the little Indian boy who guides the massive elephant. Tap, 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 tap. And we like that as a metaphor there, rather than a reality, because may it be that our species get over its need to imprison for the mere cheap spectacle of things, you know, animals in zoos or in SeaWorld for cruel performance and, you know, all of these things that are toxic mimics of encounter. An encounter is one that is chosen, not spectacle. Spectacle serves colonialism, you know, encounter serves democracy and kinship. And we're, as we know, we're in this, you know, vital time, but thank goodness it's not just humans. If it were just humans, we'd just be, oh, God, you know. But it isn't. It is larger intelligence than ourselves. And that is, you know, why we gather now. That is what we are dedicated to. And, you know, even in these last moments, you know, again, it is last moments, but if anybody wants to chime in with a blessing by calling 510-848-4425 or 1-800-958-9008 with a blessing or a well-wishing or a kerfuffle that wants resolving. You would be very welcome even in these final moments, too, while I aspire to retrieve Rod Coronado's information about where he will be speaking. I can do this. There we go. Yes, there we go. Yes, here it is. Excellent. Rod will be speaking. He will be speaking. There we go. He will be speaking tonight in Oakland, Thursday, March 20th at Quilombo, formerly the Holdout, 2313 San Pablo Avenue, where West Grand and 23rd cross Pablo, and that's doors open at 6:30, begin presentation at 7. I will be giving a talk across the bay, you know, in San Rafael at 8:11 p.m. You could theoretically make both, but that would be too human and rushing. I encourage people to follow their hearts, wolves, whales, wherever you are, to be dedicated at this powerful, sacred time where we offer ourselves, you know, again,
I have grace.
May we all have grace and poise, and Grace herself is on the phone. Grace, welcome.
Yes, thank you so much for this beautiful vernal equinox talk. Yes, I have a blessing for the earth. It's in Hindu, and it's very short, and it's for peace in the on earth. Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. Thank you very much for letting me share this.
Of course. Thank you for sharing. Yes, that's right. Again, may we have a culture of reciprocal blessing. Excellent, excellent. And again, you know, thank goodness it's not just us humans. It is, we can't even be what we want to be by ourselves, which is why at powerful moments like now, we make dedications. We go, all right, this is the person I want to be. This is the dedication, you know, this is the direction I want to go in. Hold me to this, Valis, vast, active, living, intelligent system, and that something larger than ourselves comes in. And then we also then have a guidance when we get petty, small, you know, mind, you know, the petty intrigue. Let us compost the petty intrigue to allow us to participate in the grand intrigue, the infinite game of collaborating with everything at this powerful, again, vernal equinox season. Oh, Mariana, come in, Mariana.
Hi, I've ushered and you came. I sat you in the big place where we see pioneers and stuff, and we're lovely. My blessing is may we have as much reverence, joy, and love that you've had for the whales, for even the tiny ant and the grain of soil or sand. It's all sacred.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Yeah, when the dust storm came up at the full moon, the moon in Virgo, micro, the ants and the grain of sands and the little tardigrades underneath the reality of everything, and the right against the big, big Pisces ocean, and it goes, and our allies said, you know, this is a wonderful thing because the sand remineralizes the ocean, the small and the large. Well, George, really quickly, we're almost on our way out, but here
okay,
you are.
Blessing for Pacifica on the occasion of this equinox, free radio. Thank you, Carolyn.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. Blessing on all dedicated to peace. And may all hearts be guided to their own heart-opening respect. Look again. And the second time when Rod Coronado will be speaking on behalf of the Wolves is Friday, March 21st at the Eric Quezada Center, 518 Valencia Street in San Francisco. Again, wonderful, wonderful agent for Wolves. I love Wolves especially. I love coyotes especially. I love whales especially. We love, you know, each, whatever we love, let us find out more and be its storyteller and its ambassadorial agent and become more like it. May it be so. Thanks so much, Erica Bridgman. See many of you tonight at Open Secret or on Saturday at Sacred Stream in Berkeley. That would be great. This is Caroline Casey. Again, wonderful Erica Bridgman. It is great to be here at KPFA. Wazza, wazza, wazza. I have sprinkled coyote hair everywhere from Stella. Woof, woof, woof. CoyoteNetworkNews.com. Thank you all so much. We will reconvene next week. Woof. Oh, super.